Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is impossible to be a Christian and deny that the devil is real, or that his demons are real, or that there is evil, or that demons can possess and oppress. It is impossible to deny that there is spiritual warfare going on right now. How can I say that? Because if you've come to church, especially the last 3 weeks, you have heard about this spiritual warfare. The first Sunday in Lent, as we called upon the name of the Lord, we see the devil himself tempting Jesus in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting. Last week, we heard of a Canaanite woman who bared her soul, who laid her petitions at the feet of her Messiah and asked that her demon-possessed daughter might be healed. And here in our gospel lesson, we see Jesus himself performing an exorcism, releasing this man who was mute because the devil would not let him speak of his demon. So if all of these things are true, and they are, how do we prepare ourselves for this battle? How do we fight in this war that is being raged? If you could only see all the fiery darts shot at you day in and day out, how you would run for a piece of the absolution, for a piece of the sacrament of the altar. Yes, the devil rages. His whole horde seeks to devour. He prowls like a lion seeking whom he may devour, St. Peter says. What hope do we have? Well, the fact is yes, the devil is strong, and yet God is infinitely stronger. The devil was one of God's creations. Not to be evil, not to be wicked, not to be the tempter and the deceiver, but to be an angel of light. And yet he was corrupted. The devil must obey God, especially in the end. That's the truth. So how do we then, in the middle of this time, in the middle of the time where the devil has been defeated and yet refuses to acknowledge it, how do we survive in our faith? How do we entrust that our children and our grandchildren remain there? When Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, he recited Deuteronomy 6 at the devil. Words that every good Hebrew boy and girl would have been taught by his or her father. These words, the words first of the great Shema, "Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." If the Lord has seen fit to bless you with the gift of children, they are gifts from him. And more importantly than their education, more importantly than how much money they're going to make, more importantly than how good they're going to be at sports, your goal isn't to see them on the front cover of Forbes or Sports Illustrated or an Ivy League magazine. Your goal is to see their face in the new heavens and the new earth. That has to be our number one priority. All other priorities must fall in line after that. Everything, your child's education, the things that he or she does during the day, should point them to Jesus. when you get home after long days of work, the words that are on your hearts and in your minds, as we read in Deuteronomy 6, should come out of your mouths. When you sit down, when you stand up, your children should hear you proclaiming the words of our Lord to them. The Bible should not be a beautiful piece of art sitting on your bookshelf collecting dust. It should be a book that is opened every single day and read out loud to your children. Your children should see you pray, not just on Sunday morning, but each and every day. Lead them in prayer. You know how bombarded they are by the devil and this world. Their education, their friends, the entertainment that's out there, the songs that come on the radio, the shows that come on the television, the movies on the big screens. Do these proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ? Even the ones that have demons in them rarely, if ever, proclaim that God has won the victory, that he is stronger than anything that the devil and his horde could throw at you. Demon possession and oppression is all very real. And yet, unlike Hollywood, we see that God is truly bigger. Do we allow those things, though, to enter into our children's life? If they are bombarded day after day outside of our home with the things of the devil and this world, are we doing everything we can to combat it within our own homes? Or have we allowed Satan and his horde to creep in our homes as well? Witchcraft is on the rise in America, a place where we used to actually believe what God's word said about witches, and now people are dabbling in it. They believe that they can somehow be Christian and also practice witchcraft and satanic arts, as though these are not a lie and an affront against the holy name of God, as if it is not a blasphemy, as if it is not taking his name in vain, as if it is not misusing his holy name. And yet it is. The devil can have no foothold in your lives unless you let him. But when we do drugs, when we allow witchcraft to enter our lives, when we allow the Eastern spirituality of yoga and Hinduism, and we look at these places that sell these crystals and believe that it will somehow have an impact on our lives, we are allowing the devil a foothold in us. You are a baptized child of God. Jesus proclaims in our gospel lesson that he casts out demons by the finger of God. The finger of God that he used your pastor to use to pour water over you, to remind you that you are not your own, rather you were bought with the price of Jesus' death on the cross. The magicians in our Old Testament lesson recognized that this is the finger of God. After two plagues that they were able to replicate. First, they were able to replicate the fact that Aaron's rod turned into a snake. They were able to make their rod snakes too. And then when the plague started, when God created blood out of the waters, the magicians were able to do the same. And when God brought forth frogs, the magicians were able to do the same. But when it came to the third plague, with the lice or the gnats on man and beast, the magicians come before Pharaoh and they say, "This is the finger of God. We cannot replicate it with our satanic arts." And then God draws a distinction. He says, "Now my people will not be afflicted in the same way. Now I will set apart Goshen. And when I send flies, the flies will not be on my people, but they will be on your people." And yet Pharaoh hardened his heart. The devil had a foothold. Your children, your grandchildren, are your responsibility. What they are taught day in, day out, is your responsibility. The faith is your responsibility. St. Paul writes in Ephesians 6, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Teach them the faith. Teach them the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer. Teach them about their holy baptism. Teach them about the joy and pearl that is confession and absolution. Teach them about the joy that is receiving the forgiveness of sins through the eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood. And then teach them again. Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters." That's the reason why, week after week, I encourage coming to the Lord's house. And yet, there are times that I forget to also rejoice in you. To rejoice in the fact that I see so many of your faces here every single week. Because while God does rejoice when a sinner returns and repents, God also rejoices. His angels in heaven rejoice, and your pastor rejoices to see your faces here every week. And so I thank you. Thank you to devoting your lives to Jesus, to hearing his word. And when you go out from these walls, let it work in your hearts. Let it work in your lives, that you who were once darkness live in the light. One of the best defenses against the devil and his horde, against demon oppression and possession, is to not allow that foothold in the first place. But it's also to remember your baptism. For when you were baptized, you received the branding of Jesus Christ. You received the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. And when you retrace that branding, you are proclaiming to the devil, to the world, and to yourself that no one else can have you because you belong to Jesus. And so there's a reason why it's in our hymnals, why it's in our catechisms, why Lutherans have been doing it for centuries, and even before that, why Christians have been doing it for almost 2 millennia. Making the sign of the Holy Cross. We do it in remembrance of our baptism. The fact that we were baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It is that reminder, fresh, new every morning, that your baptism is how you identify yourself. That when the devil comes and whispers into your ear, take another swig, take another hit. It doesn't matter that she's not your wife. Take another look and act on it. That you will not give credence to the devil. Remind yourself that that is not how you identify. That you identify as a child of God. Jesus talks about the state of the person that exorcism has happened on. And when baptism occurs, it is an exorcism. And when that child is not filled with the things of God, the devil does exactly what God talks about. Exactly what Jesus says here, that the devil will go out and he'll grab 7 more powerful than himself and he'll return. And the state of that person will be worse than it was in the first. Baptism is placing a giant target on our backs. And yet there is a mighty shield. Put on the whole armor of God that blocks those fiery darts. Remember that you are baptized into Christ. You are a child of paradise. And that then when the devil comes and he says, "But are you really? Surely God can't forgive you for that, can he?" You can say, "Be gone, Satan. I belong to Jesus." Fill your children, your grandchildren with those things of God. Fill your homes with those things. We have a rite of home blessing that I have done for some of you. And I would encourage you, if you've never had me over, to do this blessing, to call me up and say, "Pastor, can you come out to the house?" It's a part of our services. It's a pastoral prayer companion. You can find it in there. And you can see that just by filling each and every room with prayer and the Word of God, you have protection there. And yet these words are also included. The head of the household should be encouraged to pray regularly with the family, read the scriptures, sing hymns throughout the year, especially in times of distress. It is good to have your pastor over to fill every room of your house with the Word of God and prayer. But if I do that, and you never again fill your house with the Word of God and prayer, the devil takes seven more powerful than him, and he returns. God has given you all the armor, all of the equipment in this spiritual warfare. Cling to it. Use it. Jesus said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. In the moments when we are faint, in the moments when we feel like the devil is somehow overcoming us, turn to Jesus. Cry out for his mercy. Cry out for his help. And he hears you and he answers you. Come to be where your brothers and sisters will pray with and for you. Rejoice in the fact that we are all together united in Christ. Yes, a house divided will fall. And while we pray that the schisms that have rent the church will end, we also acknowledge that this book is the Word of God and that we are bound to it. That this book tells us everything that we must believe about God. And while there are churches now turning away from that, we will not. So yes, we pray for an end to those schisms. And we do not rejoice in the churches that are tearing apart. But we are bound to this book. And on the last day when Jesus Christ returns, the true church will stand completely united, never to fall. The church sings, Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.